Hi, this is Scott Sustacek, your host for CEO to CEO, the podcast from the CEO Roundtable. CEO Roundtable is a peer-to-peer organization that brings business leaders together to share wisdom, experience, and insights from the trenches. Today's episode is sponsored by IntroWorks, launching powerful B2B brands for more than 30 years. Learn more about them at intro.works. Welcome to episode 7 of CEO to CEO, and we have an excellent guest with us today, Mary Nutting. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you, Scott.
Owner, CEO of Core Talent, and we're going to be talking today about a topic that I've been spending a lot of time on personally, and so I'm excited for this conversation with Mary, but this is around developing your executive talent, the key to sustainable long-term growth. And before we get into this, what I want to do is just talk a little bit about Mary's background as owner and CEO of Core Talent, which is a new kind of executive search firm. Core Talent's expertise is in working with highly entrepreneurial and growing organizations to help them find and develop leadership talent. And that's right on topic with what we want to cover today. Mary, your background spent the first half of your career leading teams in large publicly held companies.
Mm-hmm.
And then after starting Core Talent, working directly with hundreds of small to mid-sized business owners, you saw really this enormous need to help people and entrepreneurs not only find top talent, but develop them.
Exactly.
And so I think, you know, that your background and the things you've been working on and growing your business with feed so well into this topic that as we go along in this economy and as we've got people aging out of the workforce and new leaders coming up. Such a big topic.
Yeah.
Maybe just talk a little bit, Mary, about Core Talent and, you know, the highlights of your business and the things you've been doing.
Yeah, that's great. You know, there's something going on in the industry in executive search, and that really is this desire to not only bring great talent into organizations, but ultimately set them up for success. You know, we're plucking people out of great companies, putting them into other great companies, and we want to make sure that they're happy, that they have the systems, tools, processes to continue to grow the organization and stick there. So that is why we decided to launch our consulting practice within our organization to really help those leaders not only find the great talent, but help them stick.
Well, and you've been on a rapid growth curve yourself. And so maybe just talk a little bit about the size of Core Talent and how you've transitioned that business.
Well, we are in our 14th year and growing, and we work primarily with privately held, as you mentioned, fast growth organizations. And this need for talent at the leadership level continues. Big companies have the advantage of having a great employment brand, so people can find them. And smaller organizations, even mid-size, really are a bit under the radar when it comes from employment branding. And so it's become very necessary for companies to hire organizations like ours to help bring in that top talent.
Well, and I think it's so important to not only hire that top talent, but, you know, as we've already started to get into here, how do you develop the team you have? Because there's a lot of knowledge in an existing team and a lot of opportunity for growth, and a lot of people are looking for that. So I want to just jump right into these topics because I'm really excited to start to peel this onion with you because, like I said at the outset, these are things I'm working on every day too. So what are you seeing as the number one need for companies who want to grow?
Yeah, this is very interesting. So we work with a lot of companies that run on the EOS platform, the Entrepreneurial Operating System platform, and we get a lot of requests for hiring or helping them to hire their first-time integrator. And or for companies that are not running on EOS, really their second-in-command. And through our discovery process, more often than not, we find a tremendous gaps in the leadership talent in the various functional areas. And I think what is happening a lot is that these business owners and CEOs are tired. They're spending so much time in each of the functional areas and wearing multiple hats. And they think the answer is to bring in someone to help them run the company. And that very much can be the answer, but it can't be the only answer. A lot of times what happens is these owners will bring in someone, and guess what happens? All of those tasks just go from the owner to the integrator, that second in command. And they eventually end up in the same spot.
So the owner feels great, right?
Yep.
But the business isn't really moving ahead.
Exactly. And people are burning out and it's just not sustainable.
Yeah.
So we really try to peel back the layers and identify, are there major gaps at that leadership level that need to be taken care of first, or maybe at the same time as bringing in that second person?
Well, and I'm sure you've seen it in the businesses you work with. I've certainly seen it in companies I've talked to and in our roundtable. But it always seems like, well, I'm just that one hire away from being where I want to be and having the kind of company I want. And what you're saying is that's not always the case.
No, it's rarely ever the case, unfortunately. Sometimes when an owner does think that way and they spend the time and the money to bring that person in and it doesn't work out, it sets them back even further.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important to just look at the entire leadership team. That integrator, especially in an EOS-run company, their job is to integrate across all functional areas. But that means each functional area has to be running smoothly first.
Right.
So.
Well, and typically, too, when you do see a company like that where it's all kind of collecting at the top and there's a decision maker, that each of those functional areas isn't running at its peak
at
efficiency.
At its capacity, yeah. Yep, exactly.
Well, and you hit on EOS, and that's certainly a big topic for a lot of our listeners because there's a lot of EOS traction companies in the roundtable. Mm-hmm. But there are also companies that are not, that are wrestling with the same thing of, okay, how do I build and scale this organization?
Yeah.
And that's really what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I want to move on to really the next topic is what makes a great leader in a growing company? And that's a big question, right?
Yeah, and I think you hit on the most important part of that, and that is growth, right?
Yeah.
What makes a leader in a growth-based company? There's so many different levels of leadership skills, and what we have found is we have created what we call a high-growth leadership model, which really has taken the best of the best in terms of leadership competencies and models from the past, from all size organizations, and have matched them to what we see day in and day out as the needs of a leader in a smaller, entrepreneurial, growing organization. And there's three areas that we really focus on with our model. And the first is mindset. And this is by far the most important area of ensuring that you have the right leader, someone who is passionate and committed to being a leader first. EOS, has the get it, want it capacity,
mm-hmm.
and so want it is super important, but it has to go even beyond just wanting it. It's that leader that wakes up every morning that says, how am I going to be the best leader as possible today?
So is that you're out coaching people and looking for mindset and helping someone find the right person? Is a mindset a go, no-go kind of situation, or how do you?
It kind of is. From a selection perspective, we hire, hundreds of leaders a year. And one of the questions I love to ask is, tell me, what are you most passionate about?
Mm-hmm.
And you start getting into the conversation around leading people or managing people. And sometimes you hear the, well, I can go either way. I can manage people. I may not love it, but, I'm really good at it. And, in this business, in a growth-based business, you got to kind of love it.
Yeah. And so there's different levels of growth, right? So if I'm an owner and I say, gosh, I want someone that's going to take this business from 50 to 100 million in 5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, so there's a mindset that you're looking for that fits that, right?
Yep.
Versus an owner that says, I really like this $50 million business, and maybe I want to, grow at 5 or 6% a year. And
yep. And that's okay, you know.
But that's a different mindset, though, too, right?
It is a different mindset. And I think what you're hitting on, too, is the next three-legged stool. It is the skill set.
Mm-hmm.
And so the skill set of a high-growth leader looks a little different than the skill set of maybe a leader that's managing the status quo,
mm-hmm.
or who is just managing very minimal growth. So some of those skills that we're looking for are high resiliency, the ability to coach their people to, it's okay to take risks and fail, make decisions quick. So it can be a very different skill that is required to really move the organization forward.
So as you come in and an owner says, gosh, I want this, your high growth leadership model, I want that in my business.
Yep.
How do you assess what they have today?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. First, you got to get really clear on what is that mindset? What mm-hmm. does that look like in this organization? Because yes, we have a lot of different behaviors and attributes and skills and competencies that we believe are inherent in most leaders in mm-hmm. high growth companies, but there's always those few things that make that company unique. So it's really getting crystal clear on that first, but then going through an assessment that really gets down to assessing the mindset, assessing the values and the behaviors and the traits of the person, and then moving into skill set. And my last leg of the stool, if you will, for the high growth leadership model is really that leader's ability to use systems, tools, and processes to champion change and really help sustain mm-hmm. the changes in the organization through that growth.
Yeah. And that sustainability is so important because you can bring in a you think is the right leader, but if you can't build something that is going to last beyond 90 days or 6 months, then...
Exactly. And through that growth, it's really an iterative process.
Yeah.
Go back to the mindset, you go back to the skill set, and then you tool your systems and processes.
Well, I want to move on to our third topic, which I think, again, we'll just build on what we've already talked about. But how do you build or find the leadership skills needed today?
Yeah. Well, of course, you can hire a firm like Core Talent. But really, most leaders that you bring in from the from outside of the organization likely don't know about you and your company. So obviously, networking is extremely critical. Beyond that, developing, it's really taking a very structured approach to going through those assessments using tools like DISC and Colby, which is an EOS for package, but really utilizing outside resources, really looking at your performance management system, but building beyond that in individual development plans and succession planning, having an ongoing process to help you help that leader grow. Mm-hmm.
And so if I think about this in my business, and again, in this high growth leadership model, is this something that is time limited, like it's a 90-day program, or is this just an ongoing, you're developing basically forever, right?
We always say that a leader should really believe that the best way to get work done is through other people. And that doesn't mean you're barking orders and you're pushing work off on other people. It means you're empowering, you're pushing the accountability down through the organization to continue to elevate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so as the company grows, it becomes more complex. You have more layers. You have more people to push accountability down through. And the only way to continue, not break that model, is to continue on your journey of assessing talent and developing talent
mm-hmm.
and redeveloping your systems, tools, and processes.
Right. And so I think about everybody on a team has specific development areas. And so how do you look at a whole team and make sure they're all advancing? You know, if the team has 5 or 6 people, how do we make sure that each one is advancing in the development area that they have?
Well, there's almost always common areas of growth, leadership growth for teams.
Mm-hmm.
It could be trust, it could be communication, it could be really how to hold people accountable. So there's a lot of ways that you can develop your people as a team,
mm-hmm.
which is really powerful because they can learn from each other as well. But there's also a very individualized
mm-hmm.
approach. And And that gets missed a lot. And that doesn't happen in a weekly one-on-one meeting or a monthly breakfast meeting. I mean, it has to be very intentional.
There's a lot of work, I think, that's done in a team basis. And EOS can certainly do that for an organization and a team of, we're setting our goals. We're running our scorecard. We're holding great meetings. We're getting things done. We're growing as a team, but then there is that individual component of, I want to move this person from a controller level to being a CFO.
Yeah.
So what are the skills that they need to do that?
Yeah. And what are those soft skills as well, right? And again, the company becomes more complex the bigger they get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we've barely just started to talk about this, and it feels like we could go on and just continue to talk about development. I do want to take a little bit of time and just talk about your experience with the Roundtable. How long have you been in CEO Roundtable?
So I've been in CEO Roundtable 5 years. I've been in multiple roundtables throughout my career.
Yeah.
I will say this has been by far the best experience, and I have the greatest team ever. And I do think having a peer group is so critical because for a number of reasons, you know, you have a dedicated team that you get to know personally and professionally. You can build on those issues month after month. It's so different than talking to your spouse about a business problem or even talking to a mentor who just might not be up to speed on everything. Your roundtable members know. They know the good, the bad, and the ugly because they're hearing from you every month. And so I think it is so critical.
And it's building those relationships over time that, you know, someone goes, well, Mary, remember when you faced this before?
Yeah.
And we'll bring that up, right?
Exactly. And everybody's there for the same reason, right? No egos. You know, there's no skin in the game. It's, you know, how do I help you?
Yeah. And that makes it very fun. So what I want to ask about is, as you think about your roundtable experience, what was the biggest decision you made with the help of your roundtable?
Yeah. Well, I have a very big decision that I started to make about 6 months ago, and I can't really talk about it quite yet because it's coming, but I will say it is it's a pivot for me and Core Talent at this time, and we're super excited. But when I first brought the idea to my group, I didn't have very much worked out. I was like, I kind of think I want to do this. And throughout the last 6 months, I have had the opportunity to put my entire business plan together and get feedback and advice from other business owners. And this process has been invaluable for me.
Well, and even though they don't come from your market,
But
they've come from their own experiences and,
exactly.
and similar situations and growth opportunities. And so those are the perspectives you get. Right?
Yes. And that's the beauty of a roundtable, getting various perspectives and things that you would never think about. And in the end, you know, you take all that information and make decisions, but it sure helps along the way.
Yeah. Well, and now I'm going to get on three questions that I ask all my guests, and so which just gives our listeners a little better flavor of who Mary is. And, and so what's your favorite movie, Mary?
Okay, so I had to think about this, but I think my most current favorite movie is Oppenheimer.
Okay,
so
that's good.
For those that don't know, it's the history of the building of the atomic bomb.
You know, and it's just an important movie and a time that as we move away from it further and further, you forget about all the things that happened then. And
yeah, and I read this quote that it can be the most brilliant people in the world who can also be a bit naive and make it kind of, you know, it's like, okay, you learn over time.
All right. So next question, what are you reading right now?
Well, I'm reading 3 books, and that's not because I'm an overachiever. It's probably because I'm a little ADHD, but I'm reading 3 books. One I have been reading for the last probably 8 years, and that's Maxwell Daily Reader. So it's Leadership Insights.
Yeah.
I brought a book for you. So.
Oh, thank you.
The other is a book called Lighter by Young Pueblo, and that is a book about leaving the past behind, being in the present, and embracing the future. And then my last one is a bit unusual, but it's called Sapiens, and it's a book about the history of humankind, and it's fascinating. If you haven't read it or heard about it, I'd encourage you to to check it out by Yuval Noah Harari. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Okay. Well, I am extremely impressed with your reading list. So, and I appreciate the gift of the book. Last question, bucket list concert.
Oh, man. So this is for sure Beyonce. Yeah. Because you know what? She's just a badass. So.
Well, awesome. Well, Mary, thank you so much for being on here with us. And again, I think I feel like we have to set up another episode.
Sequel. Yes.
Because we're just getting started on leadership development.
Yeah,
so
that's
thank
right.
you.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the CEO to CEO podcast, produced by Dave Swerdlick and the incredible team at Uptown Podcast Studios. You can find them at uptownpodcast.com. Be certain to subscribe so you don't miss an episode with more CEO wisdom, highlighting experience and insights from the trenches. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review and share with others. If you are a Minnesota-based business leader who would like to learn more about being part of a peer advisory roundtable, check us out at ceo-roundtable.org.